and leaf piles, and we come by in a truck, and we have to shovel the stuff under the truck. There's lights. And it was a terrible job. And I worked extra for about a year, and they said they had openings. So I came to work for the city as a permanent. They kept about three of us on. Now, in those days, they usually hired people, because they're so politically motivated, in their 60s. 60 was just about the average age they was hiring them on.
Okay.
Well, because they were friends of friends, and so it made it kind of tough on the younger guys. When I hired on permanent, the next youngest guy, which me, was 20 years older than I was. So, anyway, I worked on the trash truck for about 3 years, and we had an incinerator here, and we'd burn our trash. I think it's Wednesdays. We pick up trash every day. These people got service every day. We had two trucks. And then Wednesdays, we'd pick up glass and bottles, and we'd take it down on PCH by the Golden Sales, you know, all the exclusive homes. That was a big dump.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's where we dumped. So then I worked about 3 years here, and I kept asking to get off. Well, these guys, these older guys, you know, they couldn't, on a trash truck, you would drive, I drove and took care of my side, and the other guy, he'd just take care of his side. Well, he couldn't drive, so I got kind of stuck. So then I quit, and I went to work in oil fields. I asked if I'd get off, and he said no. So then I quit, and I went to work in oil fields. And I came back.
What did you do in the oil field?
We perforated wells. I didn't care for that. So
did you work for
McCullough Tool Company is who I worked for.
Mm-hmm.
So then I worked there about a year and a half, and then they were hiring people here again. So then I came back, and I worked 8 hours a day here and 8 hours a day at night at the bus company. I was married and had a family then. I did brake jobs and clean buses and things like that, parking. So every week they'd say, well, this might be your last week. I said, well, I can't live like this. So then I said, I've got to stick with one or the other. So I worked that way for about 5 months, and then it put me in the hospital. I just completely, you know, run down. So then I gave this job, temporary job up, worked there, and then I went to work for Kaiser Egyptian. Then I took my exam, I came back, they said, we have an opening in the streets and the water. I said, I'll take water. So I spent the next 30 years in water.
So when you first came to work, there was no civil service again?
I'm trying to think. Well, they had, like they call, part-time help. Yeah, I guess it was a civil service exam. I can't remember whether it was written or just oral. I really can't remember. But you had to live in the city. That made it very difficult because, I mean, you hear a place for rent. And you wouldn't tell anybody, you'd hurry up and go down there and take a look at it. And the rent wasn't really, well, the wages weren't that good. When I was working part-time, we were getting $1.50 an hour. And we had a councilman that was, I thought was really fair with the employees. The people that were on permanent were getting probably 50 cents an hour more than we were. So we worked weekends, 8 hours, trying, you know, to break even. So then the permanent employees bitched about us working. We had no such thing as time and a half. So they started bitching about that. And so what he did, then he increased our wages to the same as theirs, and then we all worked weekends. Now on weekends, on the weed abatement, which they have now the county doing, they would have crews on a volunteer basis. If you want to make extra money, we'd go out and pull weeds and burn weeds. Everybody had incinerators, but we'd burn all these lots and stuff like that. Now, Lib Wynn was our supervisor then. He later became director of planning and that. And then I remember when the city had a motorcycle cop. It was great. Archie lived down the street from us.
Where did you live when you came back after being in the
Army? Well, I came back. I stayed. My mother, they moved from our house.
When did you live in that same place through elementary school and junior high school?
Yeah, on 21st Street. Okay, then when I went into service, then they bought a lot. In those days, okay, people didn't even want the property. And I think she paid $1,000, I think, her lot. It's right on Hill Street there at Kelly Drive. I think it was 60 by 240, and she paid back taxes. I thought she, all of them were buying stuff up like that. I think she paid $1,000.
Did she not get the mineral rights?
No, she didn't get the mineral rights. None of that stuff, but the land rights she got.
Right.
So I think she paid $1,000. That's quite a bit in those days, but still. So she had married my stepdad, and so they built a home. It's on the back of the lot. Now when I came back out of service, I lived at home for about a year, and then I married. And later on, we moved a house on the front of the lot, right at the end of Kelly Drive. You see the shake shingle house. We bought it from the freeway, you know, mm-hmm. when they expanded that. They just drove the house right up over that wall and turned it around. Yeah. And then the police, it was great. What they did, it, through the negotiations, I don't know, it's been quite a few years ago. You know, it was a big political issue about living off the hill. And once they did that, then it became better for the employees. But first they had a radius, I forget whether it was 4 miles or 5 miles, then it went to 10 miles, then it was just anywhere. So it was great.
But in the beginning, you had
to live. Oh, it's terrible. Yeah.
And you had what? Did you live in a small apartment when you were first married, or what?
Yeah, I lived in a small Lemon Courts. You know, you're familiar with those, aren't you? Down on 23rd and Lemon.
No,
that's a ghetto. Anyway, there's some little courts. There's little apartments right next to it. That's where I first lived. And then when I quit the city, again, you wouldn't move unless you know, if you're going to stay in the city. So then when I went to Oilfields, I moved up to Maywood. But when I came back, again, even for work and temporary, I had to live in the city. So then I found a place over on Burnett and Burnett and Lemon. It was a really old run-down house now on the east side. It felt like a triplex. And then you just shop around, you know, and you say, oh, here's a nicer place. So I probably, see, I bet I lived in 20 places on this hill. But.
Yeah, tell me what it was like when the politicians were in control and you didn't know if you had your job.
Oh. Well, it's really strange because when I came to work here, when I got on permanent, you didn't know there wasn't freeways here.
Right.
Okay. All your as you go back in the records, I think that you'll find that all your councilmen were from the north end of town, believe it or not. And you could see every city vehicle working in the north end of town. We'd pick up trash on this end, but nothing ever happened on this side of Spring Street, nothing. It was all up there. We've gone into houses, run water lines on their property, fix their plumbing in their Mendenhall when he's here. There's times he had me in there changing faucets, things like this. We had councilman that sent us down to get picture tubes for the TVs, and it was terrible. And eventually, I mean, this must have went on for, I'd say 15 years, 15 of my years, that you never had a councilman out of there. Then all of a sudden, it kind of went down here. And then most of them were right around City Hall, and then they kind of just spread out after that. But there was a lot of harassment. Again, they would take our whole lunch hour here. When you lived on the city, when you lived in the city, you really had no private life because everybody, you know, you couldn't go by without somebody seeing you or some councilman coming over your house, bird dogging your first boat. You had civil service, but it isn't where you have rights now. And I'm sure some employees, if they had it now, there's no way the same condition that they would even stay. So.
Do you think it's because Signal Hill is small, or how did they get away with you know, having people come in and change their faucets and things?
Well, again, in those days, like this happened even when we had our first city managers, like when we had Fred Baxter, and he was a crook, you know, he was. Well, anyway. We were like slaves to these people. I mean, we didn't treat all the citizens the same way. I mean, if they called up one councilman and he wanted something you wanted out there, anything he wanted, his trees were trimmed and everything else. As long as the city manager kept this councilman happy because it meant his job, he didn't care what one of the rest of the citizens. And it was bad. It just makes me appreciate it the way it is right now. I mean, it's great. It really is.
Were there other people besides Mr. Mendenhall who
were
funding
the fix? Oh, yeah, there's Nellie Convelli, you probably heard that name when I first went there. She lived at 33rd and Orange. And when I was in the water department, we ran a line in from the alley clearing their house, and then she had other properties, and we were always doing things around her place. Then we had another guy was, I didn't particularly care for him. His name, I think, was Green. I think he owned a bunch of hardware stores. He lived at 25th and Walnut. Have you heard the name?
Yeah.
Forest Green? I think that's...
Yeah. There was a little hardware store just now.
Yeah. And a guy named Jones Hardware, too. He lived on he lived over in this area somewhere. They didn't care about the employees at all. You know, just keep your stuff looking good. And then even as close to this day here as the Dems, I mean, they just raped this city between you and I. I mean, they got new sidewalks, they got new water mains, things that, sewers, there was a deal there where the city manager and the mayor of Denham and then Richard, and we grew up together, Richard and I did, they made Richard chief of police and then the old man to protect Baxter, and it was just a lot of collusion. But I'm surprised all those years that these people just didn't get an uproar, but what had happened in North End of vote, North End was so solid in their vote, they could swing any election. So then you knew all the city crews except the trash trucks. Well, they swept the streets down here, but that's all they did. But everything, you could see every vehicle just about the city working up there in the North End. It was bizarre.
Did you ever have any dealings with Mexico?
You mean when I was a kid? Or
yeah.
Later on?
Whatever.
Oh, when I was a kid, it's like I said, I went to school with his sons, but they were way about, I mean, they were, you know, in the well-to-do kids and all this. I know they went to Polly and Hamilton with me. Todd, the older boy, I think it was Todd, I can't remember, he was quite a bit older than us, but one of the other boys my age. He was a pretty nice kid, but he's still a rich kid. Kid next to his wife was really a nice person. He had this beautiful, beautiful pool, like you see in, you know, the lockers and all that stuff. They used to open it up to the kids on Saturday, too. And she died of cancer. I knew Kid Mexico just as a kid, that was all.
Didn't ever go to parties that he had?
Yeah, on Saturdays, yeah. But again, this was kids' parties.
Yeah.
They were great. He had a hot blonde Cassidy, and that was my mom's favorite, and he came over, he found out, and gave her a kiss. And they had Jack Benny and Rochester. I mean, they had them all. They had a stage set up across from Strange Orange Avenue now. But there wasn't much traffic, really, so they just shut Orange Avenue off at the bridge on 23rd Street, and we'd have our parties out in the street, and he had big stages there, and it was great. Christmas time, this was long after Shell, he had Christmas parties, and he would get donations from different people to have. I think he had a lot of underhand stuff, too, which never involved me, or there's a house up on, we used to have a mayor here, his name was Tom, and I'm sure that's who it was. Up there in Molino, it's an odd-shaped house. It's a beautiful house. It's right on the crest of the hill. It was the only house up there for many, many years. And it's got a pool. Are you familiar with the house?
No, not so
much. Okay, as you go up Molino, it's on the west side, and they got the beautiful condos. And then as you come here, here's this nice-looking house. Anyway, the story goes that Kid Mexico bought this Tom and this house, you know, for his vote, you know, which I think is very possible. That's beautiful, huh?
Yeah, when did the Shell party stop? I mean, was that when you were really a little kid that Shell had parties?
I don't know when they stopped, but I know they went on for years. I know, you know, I was very little, and it had to be a big, you know, when you're a little kid and you're looking at something, it had to be the biggest room I think I ever
mm-hmm.
went to. And I know it went on for years, not as I became 12 or 13, but I know in my probably... I can't tell you how many times we went down it, but we look forward to it every year. That was our Christmas.
And what about the baseball part? Did you see famous people play baseball there?
Again, I was very, very small, but I knew what baseball was, and I liked it. I don't say when I was 10 or 12 or something. It was even before then, because that was a long ways from home. And we'd go over there. The only thing I remember, you know, I could think of some of the names. Well, everybody played baseball in those days, like all the guys, you know, older men and that. And they had a team from Oakland. I remember it was Oakland something. And they had famous name people come. Now, when I was probably about 10 or 12, well, during World War II, all these big baseball stars were like in the Army and Air Force and that. Well, Long Beach had what they call the Long Beach Ferrying Command here, Air Base. Down in Recreation Park, they had that was all Army tents and stuff. Now, at Tanana Army Air Base, they had Joe DiMaggio play down there. Well, where Blairfield is now, it used to be called Recreation Park. Well, they had a game between Palm Springs and Santa Ana on Army Air Base. Well, Red Ruffing, I don't know if you ever heard of the name, he's pitched for the Yankees. Mm-hmm. He is stationed out here. And they had, they were all in special service, so, you know, they had really loaded these teams up. So we went down to Recreation Park to get Joe DiMaggio's autograph. So we went up to him, and he said, I don't want to be bothered. So then that just crushed us. So then the Red Ruffing called us over there and got all these other big leaguers on his team, and they signed autographs. And then we all cheered, and he struck Joe DiMaggio all three times that day. But it was good.
Yeah,
I know what it looked like when I remember. I mean, there's just a lot of pipes and stuff out there. But I'm not sure how long it went on, and you mean the shell parties? Yeah, and the baseball games. I don't know, it just, they went on during World War II, from what you said. Well, I don't know where they went on. Again, it's just something I remember when I was a small kid.
The shell parties, I don't know when they ended, but I know there's years that I went to it.
But then it must have got less and less as they had, less and less drilling and fewer oil wells producing.
I imagine.
And all of them sitting in
here. But again, it stuck out in my mind because it was such a big thing and we had nothing and it was...
Yeah, was there a real difference between the people that you perceived as being better off on Signal Hill?
I didn't really know anybody was better off.
Well, you said, you
well, Kid Mexico, well, that was as I got older. But again, no, they wouldn't, in those days, they were just about the same. Just,
what about the kids that went to the military academy?
Well, they were something else.
You must have perceived that they were...
Oh, wealthy, yeah,
they had to pay tuition.
Well, that's why we used to torment them, But, no, we didn't really fraternize with them because they were very, very strict. I mean, we'd give them a hard time and all that, the kids in the neighborhood. But we couldn't even visualize... things that they had. So, it was like they were from another world, really. But as far as our kids, I don't remember anybody that was well-to-do. Our family is very different because in those days, there was a mother and a father, and ours wasn't. I mean, that was very, very unusual. All big families and growing chickens and things like that.
After you came back from the Army and lived in Signal Hill, where did you go to buy groceries and things?
Yeah, and I live in Signal Hill?
Yeah. Okay. I think things
have changed. Okay, Searles had a good market. As far as Signal Hill, they didn't really have that many stores, but probably the best one at the time was Searles at Raymond. It's kind of junky now, Raymond and PCH. At one time, when I was working for the city, I rented behind. It's a gym now down there at Stanley and PCH. You know where it's at? They had a gymnasium where you work out and all that stuff. Well, that used to be Searles Market right there. And then they moved on down to Raymond at PCH. And that's where we used to shop mostly there. Again, there's a tiny market on Burnett. And on this end of town here, I just, I think they had a market up there in Wardlow and Cerritos, just on Long Beach's side. Now it's been converted to a telephone thing. It really wasn't that many. And then probably the other closest one was Anaheim and Cherry down there. I think it's called McCoy's Market.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And where did you go to buy your clothes and things like that?
Oh, we always went to Long Beach. There was really nothing. I mean, even then, Long Beach was really busy in those days. But
yeah. What kind of things did you do for recreation?
I played ball mostly. Down here. Softball down Hamilton Bowl. We didn't play slow pitch. I'd never seen slow pitch. So we played fast pitch. And then I was in the process of raising the family too. We went to the beach a lot.
Who organized the league that you played in?
That was Long Beach Recreation Department. They had been until for years and years. And guys, I'd gone to high school and as we came back from the service and we just got teams together and we played. We won city championship a couple times. And then my daughters, when they got about 8 or 9 years old, and they become involved in ball, so then I gave up playing ball, and I started coaching them with Bobby Sox. But the thing that's nice now, there's not many employees my age now, but the crux of the employees now are pretty well about the same age. They got a lot in common. It was very difficult in those days when I came here. The next younger guy was 20 years older than I am. It was terrible. I couldn't even talk baseball or anything. The guy just our equipment was bad. Now they have a vehicle replacement program, where they replace every so many years. I mean, we had equipment that was 30 years old. We had a motor grader. It didn't have a motor in it. We had to tie a chain onto it, you know, with an old skip loader, and that's how they did, you know, they run the, you know, turn the oil in the streets and all that. Was, but if you don't know any better, you say, hey, this is all right.
So, when do things begin to change?
For the better?
Yeah.
Well, I would say for the employees, the equipment, the way they treat him, the benefits, I'd say within the last 8 years. I mean, really changed, I'd say the last 8 years. I could say, well, I've been here 34 years. This one is young, too. But I'd say...
So you have a good director,
I'm no. No, the things have changed, I'd say, in the last 8 years. So, you know, our water system isn't up what it should be, but they would go, when I was in water, say for 20 years, they never changed nothing. Now, at least they're in the area that they're replacing other things. Our equipment, we have a vehicle replacement program where you don't have vehicles that are 20, 30 years old. The morale is high. We're all in one complex here. Like, I worked in the water department for 28 years. I worked over at the Reservoir Park. That was we were like a different company. We were like outcasts. Park Department had a little place down behind, at the time, the fire station was down there on Hill Street. And you never even seen the employees unless it was, we have Christmas parties now, they give retirement recognition dinners for the employees. They used to have, and this was just up to, 4 or 5 years ago, when a guy retired, spent a lifetime here, they would have potluck dinner and at Henshaw Park, and everybody bring their food, and they give them an orange shirt, and that's it. Spent a lifetime here, and to me, it was really sad.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about the water department, what it was like when it was in a separate place.
And well, it had always been that way, even when I went there. It's like we were in our own little world. It was very difficult for me to move over here because I spent a lot of time over there. We had a lot of older employees. We didn't have these backhoes, everything, you know, we dug with a compressor and jackhammer. Now, you talked about having maps and stuff like that. When I came to work here, we'd have leaks. They'd have to go dig up the valves on the main lines before they could repair the mains. That's how bad it was. And I didn't know any different. So then eventually we got into a program. About the first year and a half, we'd dig these valves out, and then we'd put risers on so we'd get in with keys and shut down. Working over there was... we became very independent, had our own little, you know, own little clique and everything else. We never got help from the other divisions, and they didn't want to help us. I mean, that's just how the city worked, you know. We didn't get along with the police department, not just us, but, you know, public works. They didn't really call it public works. They called it street department, park department.
So you didn't get along with the police department?
Well, they just didn't. They were in their own world. We were on just, you know, it wasn't really a combined effort like we have now.
Conflicts or anything?
No, that's just how it was. It had been that way since day one, so that's just how it was. Now we're into this team building, and it's great. I mean, guys I've spoken to, you know, I've known, say, for 20 years, hi, how are y'all? And now you sit down and get a chance to talk to them, you know, their complaints, their ideas. It's great, you know. Here are guys you just wave, and you really don't know anything about them. But it's changed so much. We didn't have the equipment, we didn't have the tools. When we found junk, we'd have to sell it to buy wrenches. I mean, it's sad. You know, these employees now, they take it so much for granted. In budget now, you know, the city's great about giving us, and we have the best of everything. We have guys here that work for other cities now, and they come in and see our complex. Have you seen our complex?
Yeah.
I'll show you before you leave. And the treatment the employees get here, and they're just totally blown away. Before... The employees, I was saying, until about the last 5 or 6 years, we were just, the employees out here were just an orange shirt, just a name and a number, okay? Our director, he takes a lot of time, you know, where he gets close to the employee, he understands their problems, works with them and all that. Most cities, that's all you'll never see a director, never. City manager, you'll never see, I mean, a councilman, that's just how, it's great. And they're not really intimidated when they talk to these people, just like they're sitting here talking to you.
Did it have any impact on your career with the city when your mother was on the council?
I don't want to put this on tape.
Tell us about the Hilltop.
Okay, the Hilltop restaurant was on the south side of 23rd Street, right there at the, say, right across from Denny Tank. And what they had this restaurant that overlooked the city. And they actually, they had bands in there and dancing and that. And it was quite an exclusive place.
Did it have a good reputation or a bad reputation?
Well, I don't know. Again, I was a kid. Well, even at, when I came to work for the city, they had it there. And well, it wasn't a bad reputation. It's, well, actually, most of the time it was like ballroom dancers up there. Or maybe all through. It wasn't a rowdy place. It wasn't like a beer joint.
Were there any rowdy places in Signal Hill?
There's a lot of beer joints. Now whether it's rowdy or not, I don't know. Yeah. You want it?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's funny. When I was on 21st Street, I was probably about 6 or 7 years old, and they had these old model cars. You know, they had the running boards on them and that. Well, me and this girl got in the car, and she got behind the steering wheel. And somewhere or another, my brother was standing out with his feet underneath the running board, and she kicked that car out of gear, and all of a sudden we started rolling down 21st Street towards Cherry. And again, now Cherry, you got to remember, Cherry is different than those that they are now. So my mother standing on the floor, sees us, and she faints right there, you know, I find out later on. Ran over my brother's feet, and he was screaming and crying, so we took off across Cherry. And then at the first house there on the north side, they had this gardener who used to work for the city. I can't remember what his name is. That was his pride and joy. We drove right through the hedge. Went right up over the hedge, went across all the people's yards, and down, started on 21st, got around the bend. In the meantime, oil trucks, you know, like I say, that's all that went by. They'd seen that we had a runaway car, and we could hardly see where we were steering. She was just driving like crazy. And so they ran down a Cherry, and well, there wasn't really much to stop. And so they start chasing us down the Cherry, down Alamitas, and the more we kept going, the faster. And the guy finally caught up with the car, you know, and then we stopped at the railroad tracks. But we got back, and like this, fan of my mom, and she was all upset. But that was a funny thing, wasn't it?
Do you remember the hill climbs on Shell Hill? When people came out there and tried to get up the hill
there. Yeah, but I don't think it's been that old. You know, I don't remember. I think that's done just since I've been to work here, too, that they've had the hill climbs. Probably in the last 20 years or so. And then it stopped for a while.
Yeah.
I went a couple times, but it really didn't do much for me.
Do you ever remember the soapbox derby being held on
Signal Hill? Well, the soapbox derby that I remember, that they ran it down Redondo towards, you know, Redondo towards Hill Street.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Oh, okay.
I read about the Alamitas Land Company let them use their land. That's how I know that.
Okay, that was over on Redondo. It was a nice, as it came from Redondo towards, you know, about Armory down through that. That's,
yeah.
That's.
And did kids from Signal Hill build cars? Or?
Yeah, we didn't know because, again, that was out of our league.
Yeah.
You know, but it was a big thing. I don't remember if they did it over a couple times, but I know that one time it was huge.